We turn our attention now to the fourth judge, a woman named Deborah. Her story involved a partnership with a man named Barak. 1,200 years before Christ, these two leaders were the hottest duet team around. The first line of their best-known song, probably their only song, went like this: "When leaders lead in Israel, wow, bless the Lord." In this session, we continue our series in Judges by looking at Deborah, a remarkable judge and mighty Old Testament leader. Not primarily for her memorable music, we'll look at the song itself in the next session, but for her leadership lessons. Note first the situation of the people of Israel, Judges chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. There is that familiar cycle of sin all over again, now for the third time. This resulted in servitude again, a grim reminder that sin always enslaves. It does not liberate. Now for the first time in this book, Israel is oppressed by people inside the land, Canaanites, the very ones they should have driven out long before. These Canaanites now controlled the northern and central areas of Israel with the latest military technology, iron chariots, often with sharp blades attached to the wheels, a fearful weapon indeed. By way of contrast, verse 8 of the next chapter tells us that there was a complete lack of weapons among Israel. That chapter also tells us that it was not safe to travel by road, and villagers had to move to walled cities for protection. But what was the real problem? It was not military, it was spiritual. The problem was not iron chariots, it was iron hearts. Later, the difference made by a living faith in the living God is nothing less than sensational. Let's begin by looking at Deborah, the person. Judges chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time, and she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Her name means honeybee. Some humorist has suggested that this was a good name for her because she had honey for her friends and a stinger for her enemies. God's enemies, actually. Her strong character reminds me of what the American General Haig said some years ago about British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. She was the best man in the British cabinet. The same thing could have been said about Deborah in her day. She is the only woman in biblical history who had a major God-given leadership role, and she did a great job of it. U.S. President Truman once defined leadership as the ability to get men to do what they don't want to do and to like it. Truman didn't have gender differences in mind, but his definition of leadership is especially true of Deborah. In some ways, the men of her day were children, so God raised up a mother for them in the person of Deborah, and she got men to do what they were reluctant to do. The whole story, as recorded in Judges chapters 4 and 5, emphasizes the fact that women, Deborah and another lady named Jael, her story is also a fascinating one, gained the glory in this victory. This should not particularly surprise us. The Bible highlights the significance of women in many of its stories, and God still gifts and uses women in very significant ways in the modern church. Now let's turn to Deborah's leadership qualities. First of all, she had good eyes. She saw a need. Judges chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted, and the travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. She was critically realistic. John Gardner said that our 20th century institutions are caught in a crossfire between uncritical lovers and unloving critics. Love without criticism brings stagnation. Criticism without love brings destruction. So we need a loving criticism of our churches, organizations, and even families. The difference between harsh criticism and honest realism is motive. Our motive must be one of love, a desire to help and build up, not tear down. Deborah's second leadership quality was that she had a strong will. She was committed to do something about it. The miserable state of affairs in Israel continued until I, Deborah, arose, she says in verse 7. Henri Frederic Amiel said, "For purposes of action, nothing is more useful than narrowness of thought combined with energy of will." That's Deborah. She set a goal. She made a commitment. In her case, political liberty for her people. How strong is our commitment? Do we have Deborah's quality here? When we see a need, do we follow through with a commitment to do something? There are many needs in our world crying out for strong commitment, and surely there must be a multitude of needs and opportunities in your church life, too. I like Larry Crabb's insight at this point. He said the core problem is not that we are too passionate about bad things, but that we are not passionate enough about good things. Deborah's third leadership quality was that she had open hands. She enlisted help. Judges chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali. She recognized her own limitations and Barak's strengths. His name, by the way, means lightning bolt. In doing so, she realized the value of a team, and what a great team they turned out to be, the honeybee and the lightning bolt. Someone said, "Leadership is action, not position." Deborah was interested in action, in results. She was not at all concerned about position. This meant she was willing to share responsibilities and share the credit. No one individual has all the gifts and talents needed in a local church. That's why God puts us together, combining our gifts and skills and personalities. We need each other. We keep our hands open to receive help from brothers and sisters in God's family and to give help to others. Why did Deborah have such great leadership qualities? Good eyes, strong will, open hands. Well, she was in touch with God and in touch with people. Note once again chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time, and she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. This picture of Deborah under the palm tree is graphic and significant. The tall palm tree stretching up toward the sky, a symbol of her relationship with God. And then, under that palm tree, the gathering of all kinds of people who came to her for help. She was in touch with people. It's a valuable picture for all Christians. We are all called to the ministry of reconciliation, as Paul put it in 2 Corinthians 5:18. And this requires that we, like Deborah, must be in touch with God and in touch with people. Let's turn our attention now to Barak, the other leader in this story. Barak was a priest from one of the Levitical cities of refuge. Therefore, he was already a designated guardian of Israel, but he did not take up this role until summoned by Deborah. What was his leadership quality? I would suggest it is faith. One reason for saying this is because Barak, not Deborah, is the one named in Hebrews 11:32 as having faith. It is a weak faith in the beginning, for sure, as we read in chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And Barak said to her, that's Deborah, "If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." So she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. God rebukes this weakness, but mildly. It was not an occasion for maximum punishment. Perhaps we need to keep in mind the words of Bishop W.C. McGee, "The man who makes no mistakes usually does not make anything." But even at this stage, Barak shows at least a couple of elements of faith. First of all, it takes great faith to have a realistic appraisal of oneself. Barak knew he couldn't do it without Deborah at his side. Being available to God involves, among other things, recognizing our gifts and limitations. And secondly, he never wanted personal glory in the first place, and therefore Deborah's warning about the glory going to a woman did not threaten him. Benjamin Jowett said, "The way to get things done is not to mind who gets the credit of doing them." Barak had a godly desire to see victory for Israel over Sisera. And his later faith was truly terrific, making him very eligible for the Hebrews 11 Faith Hall of Fame. Here's a leader with a growing faith, marked by realism and humility, and later marked by stepping out in faith against tremendous odds. Now note another principle about leadership. Leaders motivate others. Someone said a good leader inspires other men with confidence in him. A great leader inspires them with confidence in themselves. By this definition, when we look at Barak, we have to say Deborah was a great leader. At the beginning of the story, Barak has very little confidence, but as the drama progresses, he gains courage from Deborah. So we could say that Deborah's special contribution was motivating Barak, who in turn mobilized thousands. Thomas Bailey Aldrich said, "The ability to have our own way, and at the same time convince others that they are having their own way, is rare among men. Among women, it is as common as eyebrows." There are lots of differences between men and women, but the one Aldrich points out here is not so commonly recognized. Women often have great motivational power. They can inspire and encourage men to do all kinds of things, either bad or good. And when this ability is used for good, it can be tremendously powerful. Barak was fearful and needed to be motivated, and Deborah does a wonderful job of it. First of all, in chapter 4, verse 6, she confronted him with God's command, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded?" And then in verse 7, she strengthened him with God's promise, "I will deliver him into your hand." And in verse 9, she encouraged him with her presence, "I will surely go with you." And he needed to be motivated, not just at the initial summons, but again at the moment of battle. And Deborah patiently exercises this ability once more. Chapter 4, verse 14. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" Deborah is an outstanding model of leadership in Scripture. But of course it must be recognized that without followers, no one is a leader. Which leads me to notice the second line in the Song of Deborah and Barak. When the people willingly offer themselves, wow, bless the Lord. The Song of Deborah and Barak expresses this important truth. It takes leadership plus motivated followers to get significant jobs done. God used the leadership of Deborah and Barak to mobilize a little army of motivated followers who fought against the mighty Canaanite army and, with God's help, won. When leaders lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, wow, bless the Lord.